Welcome to the Best Ever You Network, celebrating our third year on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Thank you for helping us become a number one rated live show with over 1 million global listeners. Our team is on a mission to help you discover your authentic best self and bring it to the world. And now, here's our show.
Hello, everyone. How are you today? I'm Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, the CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, and I'm so happy that you're with me today listening and can see our chat room is filled with friends. Hello, everybody. I'm so thankful that when we email you, you guys all join us because otherwise sometimes you feel like you're just talking into air. It's all good, but people download it and listen, and it's lots of fun. And I love our guests here on the Best Ever You Show. We learn something new about our guests every time we have a guest on. There's always something to learn from people and other people and everything they're doing. And Carrie Murphy is just one of those people. She's with us here. We're going to bring her on in a minute here. She's an author. She's an award-winning host of her own radio show. She's a speaker. She's the president and CEO of Empowerment Coaching Solutions. So that means she's a life coach, a business coach. You could probably call her and she'd probably coach you on anything, I'm going to guess, because she's just one of those people who kind of gets it. She's the best-selling author of 6 books. Her latest one is newly released. It's trending on Amazon. Get this, guys. I'm going to click over here and see what it is. It's trending on Amazon. Yay, Carrie Murphy. In the top 100,000 books on Amazon. That is her seller's rank, and that is pretty darn exciting. Her book is called Treasures of Heaven. It's Lessons from the Other Side. She's a Balboa Press author. They're awesome to work with. They're a division of Hay House. Hello, everybody at Balboa Press and Hay House. We love you guys. Let's just bring Carrie on, and we'll learn more about her, and she can talk, and I'll be quiet. Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Hi, Elizabeth. I'm so happy and excited to be here with you.
Yeah, I am happy, too. We finally got it, huh? We finally coordinated so that our schedules lined up, and here we are. So
yes. That's
awesome. How excited are you about your book? I know I'm pretty excited for you. You must be really excited for you.
Yeah, I am excited for me. Yeah, it was really fun. The launch was on February 4th, and it became an international bestseller on that day in, I think it was 4 or 5 different countries. So that was really, really exciting. And, yeah, it's just nice to get all the feedback from it because it was the first time in any of my books where I described my actual near-death experience in detail. And it's different from the other books because it's not only the insights that came to and through me on that day, but every day since then, and that was in 97, so a lot has happened since then. So it's not like, it's like this portal opened on that day, but all the insights continue to come through. It wasn't just on that day I was sort of like enlightened, you know what I mean? It was sort of, it just opened a portal. And so this book kind of shares the greatest insights that I have found that have impacted me in my own journey and the journeys of the people that I have coached and spoken to and all of that over the years. So it's exciting to know that it's making a difference. That's the whole purpose. So, yeah, it definitely feels good. So thank
good.
You.
Yeah, it looks like just a great book. And I want to just tell everybody your website is carriemurphy.com. That's P. I always do that with P's and S. Let me start over. C-A-R-I. I told you I'd make a mistake. CarriMurphy.com. I always do that. And kind of all across the board, you're Carrie L. Murphy on Twitter, Facebook. You're on Pinterest. You're all over the place. So we can pretty much Google you and find you. And under also the hashtag on Twitter, Soul Success. So do you have any other hashtags on Twitter that we use as well?
I use all kinds. The Carrie Murphy Show, I use that hashtag a lot just for the show every week. But, yeah, inspiration, upliftment, you know what I mean? I'm love, light, you know what I mean?
Like Jimmy Fallon, hashtag.
Exactly.
Hashtag Cookie Monster, yum, 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 yum. Funny. I love that video. Let's talk about – speaking of hashtags for a second here, let's talk about kids. And the reason why I'm saying that is kids go, hashtag, when's dinner ready? They talk in hashtags. How many kids do you have? You're a mom.
I have one.
Yeah.
I have one daughter, and she is a senior in high school. So I'm wrapping up the this phase
experience.
Of the journey with her.
So, cool.
It's kind of liberating, actually. So I have one daughter, and
awesome.
She's super fun. Usually.
Do you know where she's going to go to school and all that? Hello.
Yeah. She's going to be going to A&M and here in Texas. And I'm ready for the next stage of the journey. You know, it's definitely.
What are you going to do? We're going to go back and forward here. Everybody following us with my guests, you guys know this. I go all the way back to childhood, but since you mentioned a new journey here, what do you have planned? What are you thinking of? It's a huge change too, Mama, when one goes to college. I have one in college that just left this last year. He's doing his first year here at UMaine. And all I can say is thank goodness for that cell phone. Because you remember like when we were kids, you just left, you know. It's like, I'll call you when I call you. Those cell phones are the best thing. I think they're better for the moms than the kids.
Yeah. I keep telling her, you know, I'll be checking on you every day, and she's like, you're going to call me every day. So,
like, yes,
I will. But no, the journey is just, it's always expanding anyway, but it's just, I'm going to have more freedom, and it's going to allow me to travel more with my speaking, which I haven't done as much of because I wanted to be here for her. So it opens up some doors that I have not allowed to be open as much over the last few years. So that's going to be fun of you. And
I know what you mean there. When you're focused on, it's kind of like as moms, we try and do like 8 different, well, maybe 10 or 20 different things at once sometimes, don't we? And you want to talk about that just a little bit? Because you touched on it right there, and I'm feeling that same way, where it's like, I don't think I'm going to be, I had this job when I very first had kids that I was flying hundreds of thousands of miles a year, and I stopped it pretty promptly and just said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to focus my energy here at home. But, as moms, we pick and choose what we do and when we do at moments, don't we?
Yeah, and I think it's important to make choices that make you feel good. And, whatever that is and whatever that means to you, I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do it. I just think whatever makes you feel best, do that. And I'm a big proponent of self-nurturing routines and patterns every day. And I think it's a great example to set for our children. Taylor, my daughter, has seen me, over the years. I have specific routines every day, and I need my me time so that I'm a better mom and partner and all of these things that I do. I know what I need to do for me to be my best. And so she gets that. And I hope that somehow that instills in her the desire to create those same or similar kinds of self-nurturing patterns for her as she grows up, because it's so important. Because if I didn't do all the things that I do every day to keep myself centered and balanced and aligned, I wouldn't be very effective as a coach or as a speaker or as a mom in any of those roles. So it's really, really important to... And I share this with clients all the time, especially, mothers, we need to be selfish a little bit, and we need to redefine what that means, because society has the word selfish as something negative, but I think it's just a self-nurturing quality that we all need to pay attention to, because if we're not okay, the people around us aren't going to really benefit from our presence.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree with you. That's brilliant advice, especially with all these books that tell you which way to lean and what to do and all this stuff. And I'm just thinking, no, I'm just going to stand on my own 2 feet and we'll figure it out from there and kind of go. Because, and we'll go off the mom track here in a minute, but, throughout, having kids for, yours is 18 or so as well, we'll just estimate around there, 17, 18, 19, that many years, we do go through patterns where you do lean in, you do lean out, you do go here, you do go there. Sometimes you want to get dressed up. Sometimes you want to stay in sweats. It's a little bit all over the map. Have you experienced that? in the way of taking care of yourself and the kids. It's kind of almost, I kind of go kind of almost yearly or every 6 months. Okay, I'm like, what am I going to do this next 6 months? Okay, I'm feeling like I want to work a little more or whatever. Depends on, it depends on what's going on, doesn't it?
Sure. And, you know, one of the greatest pieces of advice I can offer that has helped me is focusing on every day and not going, you know, I always say there's no power in then or when. So it's the moment. And it's not about being irresponsible in that you're not considering your future, but it's every moment is precious and new. And when I don't work, you know, when I let go of the past, clearly it's not alive, present anymore. There's no need to reactivate anything from the past by bringing it back up unless it was positive. When I let that go and not worry too much about the future or what's going to happen next, it really allows for a much greater level of happiness and joy. And that's one of the greatest things that I've learned, you know, over the years is every day, just focus on today. What feels good today? Let's make choices for today that are going to benefit me and those around me. And I always use I like mantras to kind of reprogram the subconscious mind, you know, like every day, today my intention is to celebrate myself and to celebrate my life and those around me and just kind of get myself focused on each day. And when you live like that day by day, it doesn't seem overwhelming or daunting or anything like that because you're not introducing so much pressure or resistance into the equation.
I completely and totally agree. I was looking at pictures. My grandmother just passed away. And I was thinking about how time is so precious and how being in the moment is so precious because, you know, she got Alzheimer's in the past 3 years of her life. And I was looking back to pictures. We moved to Maine probably like 10 years ago now. And I was looking back at her visiting my home when I first moved here. And it just sort of dawned on me how time flies so fast.
It does.
10 years time. And I did the kind of the same thing with the children, with my kids too. I have four boys. And, you know, that one when he went off to college, it made, you know, especially when they're seniors, they have you bring in a baby picture and a senior picture and all these things. And it's amazing how time can fly if you're not really in your moments.
Mm-hmm. Well, and appreciating the gifts of every day, you know, it's really just a matter of perspective and what we choose to focus on. We can focus on, you know, a to-do list that's a mile long that stresses us out, or we can focus on, I just want to feel good and everything's going to get done and, you know, and focus on what you have to appreciate and celebrate and look for the good in yourself and people. You know, look at yourself in the mirror and, you know, find reasons to celebrate your beauty and who you are. And the same with your partner and your children and everything around you. When you look or you seek reasons to celebrate, you find them. And when you seek reasons to find what's wrong, you're certainly going to find that too. So it's all a matter of focus, perception, and perspective. One of the greatest lessons I've learned is that determines everything, the quality of our experiences. And no one can do that for us. It's up to us in every moment. It's sort of like we're shining a spotlight with the power of our consciousness onto our experiences, and we get to choose what we light up, you know, with the power of our focus. And when people realize that, it's pretty empowering because you're not waiting for life to happen to you, or you're not waiting for people or circumstances around you to determine how you feel. You know, you get to decide what you're going to focus on, and you're going to decide how you feel. And it makes life a lot more fun, and it's very, very empowering.
Well, when you said light up, I thought of you because you light up. You have a glow about you and a bright light and a beauty and an energy to you. And I love that about you, and I've noticed that about you. And I thank Deb Scott for introducing us through, I think it was maybe the Motivation Marathon a few years
ago. It was.
I think that might be how I first came to know you. And, you know, I think you and I have just been kind of doing our thing and trying to be on each other's shows. You're a very sweet supporter of other people. I know, I really love this about you. I know that when I need you, I can go, Carrie, can you help me? And you're there. And it's really kind of beautiful, and I love Deb Scott for this as well, and Deborah Oakland and Heshi and Nancy and Debbie, and you know, just this entire group of this like core group of these motivation marathoners who you know you can turn to. And we may not have all met in person, but it's the coolest thing. I want to meet.
It's like a soul sisterhood.
It was funny before we went on air. I'm like, we have to all get together. It's driving me nuts. We've got to meet somewhere and all get together and like at the Mall of America even or something, just someplace in the center that we all can get to and shop for shoes. But wouldn't that be fun?
That would be so fun. And you know what I've learned? I feel closer to so many people that I've never even met through, you know, the beautiful world of the internet than some of the people that are around me all the time because, you know, we're drawn into each other's lives for reasons, you know, on a soul level. And we feel that soul connection, like, I know you, I know you, I know you, like, ah, here we all are. So, you know, yes, it would be fantastic to all get together in person just to amplify the joy and the fun and the connection. But it's great knowing that we're all here.
Trade shoes, trade makeup, whatever it is. It's funny. We can all sign each other's books. That's what's cracking me up in my head lately. I'm just like, okay, we have all published books pretty much or on our way to publishing books. Every woman in this group is on their way to publishing a book or has. And I just think that's, you know, just bring six copies and pass it around and go shoe shopping or something. I don't know. I've got something funny in my head with that. But do me a favor and just tell us a little bit about your book. I know people are not hanging on the line to hear about my shoe shopping adventure. They want to know about your Treasures of Heaven book and what it's all about. And I know people are very, very fascinated by people who have near-death experiences and all these things. So share a lot about your book, and I'm just going to kind of go into listening mode.
I want it to feel like a journey of remembrance and self-discovery for the reader where I want to support them in creating heaven on earth because, you know, there's no heaven or this place in the sky that we wait to, you know, to the end of this this journey here and this lifetime to experience bliss and joy. It's available to us here and now. So I really share the insights and the tools that I've gained from the near-death experience in 97. And then all these amazing messages that come through me. Sometimes, you know, being a writer, I'm amazed at some of the things that come through. It's like, wow, I didn't realize that I knew that. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, because it's coming from this higher part of myself. I'm like, wow, okay. And there are, it's like the information from my soul continues to be revealed in layers. And the more I remember, the more I realize there is to remember. And, you know, that day in 97 and I was in the hospital and when I collapsed and all that, it was like it opened the door to my infinite essence. You know, we're all these infinite, eternal beings. And new doors have been made available to me ever since then. And I know that it's my choice to walk through those doors of opportunity and love and expansion, which we all have that option every day. Because to me, the whole purpose of being here is expansion and fun and joy. And yes, we have challenges, but we get to determine how quickly we move through them and how joyfully we emerge from them. Because every challenge is really just an opportunity to remember how powerful we are, first of all, and to realize that, again, it's like the power of our focus and the power of our perspective determines everything. And what's interesting, Elizabeth, is that a lot of the stuff that comes through me, I still don't completely understand all of the energetic and spiritual concepts that come through me. It's sort of like my human brain can't really comprehend it all, but it's as though my soul knows it to be true. And I usually know that, like, I'll get chills or I'll, as I'm writing, like, I know, like, wow, yes, I do know this. I remember now. And so the book, I'm hoping that as people read through it, that they will remember too, because it's really, this whole journey is just a remembering experience where we remember who we really are. That's the game of life. And when I say game, I don't mean to
I know.
You know, undermine our challenges, but it really is for the purpose of expansion. And the book, the cool thing about this book is I decided, because I wanted it not to just be energetic in nature and share all of these, you know, energetic principles. I wanted it to be very practical. So at the end of every chapter, I have a practical action step so that all of the information that was revealed in that chapter can be applied, because I don't want to just share all these lofty concepts and people go, oh, that sounds great. You know, okay, now what do we do with that? You know, how does that actually,
right,
how does that apply to my day-to-day life, you know?
Yeah.
So that part is great.
You're like, thank you for that, but I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Some books you just go, wow, where did that come from? It's really profound, but yeah, I'm going to have to sit and go to school to figure that out, I think, or something. I don't know. My brain's a little bit more. It might be because of having children and stuff. Because you constantly, I feel like I'm constantly repeating sixth grade. I'm almost done with sixth grade now again for the fourth time.
Yeah.
I do sixth grade math almost every night of my life, and I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait to graduate. But, you know, the thing, if you pay attention to the kids, what they do is not so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, my kids are all different. I've got old souls and young souls among them, but they're very different. But don't you think that sometimes kids are very talented?
Well, they keep it simple, which is the way it's intended to be. And, you know, I try to keep things very simple, too, in everything that I share, because I feel like so often, you know, there are a lot of experts that really, it's like, they make it so complicated, and I think some people are drawn to that, the step-by-step process of, you know, here, do these 25 steps and you will be enlightened or whatever. But to me, it's a lot simpler, and it's really about, it's just energy, and it's just do what makes you feel good. Realize when you're not feeling good, it's resistance. You're resisting against something. You're not feeling the fullness of who you are, and that's an opportunity to shift your attention, your focus onto something that's going to make you feel a little better. Some of these concepts, they're very simplistic, but they're very powerful in nature, because they transform your results and the outcomes. You know, it's sort of like if you don't like what's happening in your life, you have to shift what's going on internally, because everything, quote, out there, the physical reality is always a reflection of what's going on within you. And it's sort of like, I remember hearing this example once, and it really struck me as profound. It's sort of like when you look at your reflection in the mirror and you don't see yourself smiling back, you don't reach into the mirror and try to change the mirror to make you smile, right? You have to change yourself, and then that reflection changes back. And so what I have found over the years is so often people wait for the circumstances around them or the people around them or life, physical reality around them to change for them to feel happy or to feel differently. And they're going about it the long, hard way, because the truth is, everything outside of you is a reflection. So as you change what's going on inside of you, everything that you look at changes. The world gets a little brighter and more beautiful because you're tending to what's going on within you. And
are moments right there where you might outgrow a spouse if you're not careful. You might outgrow a situation. You might outgrow a job. Those are important points. Those are moments as you're doing that where people grow with you or they don't. The job grows with you or it doesn't or whatever. And I think what you just said is very important, because those are those growth moments where you and everyone around you is going somewhere different.
Absolutely. Well, and what I encourage clients to do is, oftentimes people will think, oh, you know, I'm not satisfied in my marriage or in my job, and I just need a new partner or I need a new job, and then I'm going to be happy. And it's sort of like, well, it doesn't really work that way, because guess what? You take you with you. You know?
Yeah, wherever you go, there you are.
There you are. So. Until you change the way that you're perceiving something, it won't matter. It'll just be a different person, the same situation with a different person, or a different job, but the same scenario. So you have to, I always tell people, it's not about changing partners or getting out of your marriage or changing a job. It's about finding the joy and celebrating, finding things to celebrate about yourself first and foremost, and your surroundings. And then everything lightens up. It's just people get in these cycles of focusing on what their partner or is doing wrong, or what bugs them, or about their current position or job, and that keeps them stuck in this looped cycle of frustration, and it's just a merry-go-round. And until, you know, they're the only ones that can take themselves off of that, and it's just changing what you focus on. That's it, and then your marriage improves. I always tell people, you don't have to, you know, a lot of people think, oh, now I've woken up and I need to quit my job and start doing, you know, my purpose. I need to be in a position where, you know what I mean? It's that.
I do. I know that
them,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, but what I've realized is your purpose is just be happy. You know,
yeah.
A lot of times people spend so much time trying to, quote, figure out their purpose. What is my purpose? What is my purpose? And it doesn't have to be this long, drawn out, really, you know, save the world thing. Your purpose is to expand and grow and be happy and be joyful. You know, that's
drawn
it.
Out, save the world thing. Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more. You know, do what makes you happy. I say that to my kids all the time.
Yeah,
I keep bringing my kids up in here because we're both moms and stuff. And
yeah.
You know, the other day somebody was eating just as simple as this. The other day, one of my kids was eating a strawberry, and they got that like sour puss face after they took a bite. He hadn't had a strawberry in a long time. He's like, I just do not like these, and no amount of sugar in the world is ever going to put it on that is going to make me like strawberries. And I said, well, don't eat it then. So you're not a kid who
exactly.
likes strawberries, and that's okay. No one's force feeding you strawberries. And he looked at me like, you're right. And he went in the kitchen and put it down, and I said, you know, that's life. You know,
it's
you don't
that
want
simple.
Strawberries,
it's like,
Cam. You don't have to eat it.
If it doesn't taste good, if you don't like it, stop doing it.
Yeah, stop doing it. So my kids are kind of
exactly.
trained that way, and it's funny, they're, you know, trained, whatever you want to call it, but, you know, they've been around that type of environment for so long. No one's forced feeding, making them eat their, you know, dinner if they don't
mm-hmm.
like it, you know, that kind of thing. But the other thing is the impact we have on other people is what I'm thinking
mm-hmm.
about right now. And the impact
right.
we have on children and young people and everybody around us. When you're not filled with joy and filled with happiness, are you, what does that do to mm. people around you? I'm just gonna. And
well,
not
they
you,
feel your energy first
all
of all.
Us, yeah. What happens
and
when we're.
They'll probably mirror that right back to you. It's sort of like if you wake up in a bad mood, you realize everybody around you is annoying. You know, the drivers around you or your spouse or, you know, everybody is annoying when you're feeling annoyed. You know, it's like that's just the way it works. And so, you know, we have to lighten up a little bit and laugh at ourselves when we do that because it happens to us all. But you know, when we can just sort of laugh it off and lighten up and, you know, realize when we're in those moments that we can shift and we can just shake it off. You know, sometimes I'll tell people just jump up and down for a minute, you know, shake off that, that quote, negative energy, which there's really no negative energy. It's just a lack of positive energy or light. And just shake it off, you know, move your body and get that energy flowing again. And, you know, I think it's more important to focus on, you know, making sure that our energy is as aligned as possible, and then everything around us just starts to flow. And the people around us, especially our children and families, you know, it's our example through our energy is far more powerful than any word we could ever speak to our family or those around us. So it's our energy that they feel. You know, we could be saying something, and it really doesn't matter what we're saying. It's the energy underneath it. It's the vibration that people feel. So when we tend to, excuse me, our vibration, then, you know, that's all we really need to do. And one thing that came up a second ago that I was going to mention that's important, when, you know, you were talking about your child and, you know, just saying, well, if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. It's kind of that simple. But one thing I wanted to add to that that I find makes a really big difference for people with regard to how they feel is talking about the past in a way that doesn't make you feel good. You know, and I was in counseling psychology before my near-death experience, so I was taught, like, you talk it out, you bring it back up, let's talk about how it made you feel and how horrible I felt and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And what I have realized is that is
that's
so ineffective.
That's why you get stuck in forever, yeah.
Well, yes, it's so ineffective.
The shivers when you said that, I'm like, oh, that just, to me, I know it all has its purpose and everything, and I get it, and I've been there and done that, you know, therapy and things like that too, but it can be very past focused.
Well, it doesn't work either, and that's why I shifted away from traditional counseling psychology years ago into coaching, because coaching is about now. It's about the now moment and what you want to create. It's not about reactivating all the horrible memories that you do. Whenever you go to counseling, it's like you just reactivate. You pull it back open and you feel it all over again, and that is just a complete waste of time. Complete waste of time. And I'm sorry to say that for the people that, you know, I think over, you know, sometimes you see people who are in counseling for years, and it's
years,
sort of like,
yeah,
how's that working for you?
I think counseling should have a start date and an end date, and then go into coaching or something. I don't know quite what I haven't formulated everything I think exactly right there, but when you talk about that, I think that's really cool. And I think more and more people are doing that too, with therapy and things like that. I don't know if therapy is even the right word for it, but
It's not waiting for someone else to change for you to be happy. And that's the whole, you know, when we sit down to talk about the past, even with our partners, even in the privacy of our own home, you know, what matters is how are we going to connect today? You know, how are we going to celebrate each other today? And it's not about bringing up the past, because the past is dormant. It is not even a factor until or unless we bring up that story and we just keep talking about it. Then we bring up that memory and that we activate that negative emotion, and it keeps us stuck in that cycle. So I always tell people, just focus on now. It really doesn't matter what happened before today, because every moment is like a new reality that we get to step into, and we get to choose which reality we want to live in, you know, with our focus and our attention, and it has nothing to do about the past. It's about now.
I do love it. I hear you. But one of the things I do love about people is when they do talk about their past, in terms of perhaps, you know, sometimes people's pasts are just interesting, but I do also love it when people talk about their past and teach us something from it. I do kind of love that, and I love it when people go, yep, that was my past, and here's what I've learned, or whatever, and they take it, because I think like we're sitting here right now talking on the phone, everybody's joining us, and we're kind of like this collection of everything that's happened to us. And you can correct me and fiddle with my words, but everything that's happened to us right now has brought us right here together. And we're all very different but similar, and it's kind of cool.
That's a beautiful point, because the key is focusing on what we learned and what we gained and how strong and amazing and confident we are because of our challenges, as opposed to dwelling on the things that happened that caused the pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you can talk about it in a detached kind of way without reactivating the negative emotion, but when you focus on, wow, I realized just how strong I am, and I realized this about myself, or I realized this about life. Yes, that's, anytime you talk about that, that's a beautiful thing to discuss. And any kind of memory that is joyful is amazing too. You know, the key is uplifting yourself and your energy field with the power of your thoughts and your emotions and your beliefs and expectations in as many moments as possible, by becoming aware of what you're talking about, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, you know, what you believe about yourself and life. As we become more aware of those things, we also become more empowered, because we can shift them if they're not working for us. And it just opens new doors. To me, it's all about, let's open new doors every day, new doors of possibility.
That's kind of what I love about social media so much, is because, you know, with kids and things like that, I'm not out and about traveling the world either, for sure. You know, and I love social media because, you know, you can meet a couple new people every day and learn about them and things like that. And those are new doors, and learning about people and sharing experiences. And I just think about how powerful the internet is, and how, like, we're on this call right now because of it, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I think about that. And that's a new door and a new journey, and who knows what people will take from this today. It's amazing. I want to ask you a question. It's totally random, mm-hmm. and totally out of the blue, but it is about purple.
Purple, the color?
Purple. Yes, the color,
okay.
Not the movie, but purple. You are very purple. The website is purple and pink. And talk to me about purple and pink. And this is just me being curious. Do you have meaning behind the colors that you choose for things? Because purple is a very big color.
Yeah, well, absolutely. They feel good to me, first of all, or I wouldn't choose them. And then they become sort of branding colors. But at the same time, purple I was always drawn to. It's the color of the crown chakra. Pink, I always think of love and the expression of love. And so I love those colors. I love gold. I love all kinds of colors, depending on what I you know, what I want to feel that day, because colors have energy to them. So I definitely chose those colors because I think they're empowering too. And you want people to feel something you feel something every time you look at a website or you look at a book cover, just like the book cover I chose for the recent book. It was done very purposefully because you want it to elicit a positive feeling. You know, and, you know, I think it's different for everybody. Everybody's going to interpret things in their own unique way. But for me, it's as simple as I love those colors and they make me feel good.
Well, you know, and that's kind of the way I am. I mean, I noticed that about you. That was, since I have known you, the one thing I've noticed about you is color. And
I love vibrancy.
You're one of the only other people I know other than Heshi Siegel, who talks a lot about colors, and colors just are so meaningful to me in my life. I have color crayons. I have 3 packs in the drawer next to me. I love crayons and all the stuff. I was just curious because I love colors too, and I noticed on your website, I'm a kid at heart too, just so you know, but I noticed on your website you have this badge, and it's really colorful, and it says activate, elevate,
amplify, I love
power,
that.
And light, and access. Or excess, however you say that word.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that, because it doesn't get much more colorful than that, and it's got my other favorite color, gold.
I love gold, yeah. Well, to me, it's about vibrancy, and just talking about it uplifts me, you know. It's I remember finding that image and then adding those words to it, because when you combine the power of a color, colors have energy, and the power of words, and every word has a frequency or vibration to it as well. So when I combined that particular image with the words that to me held a very high vibration, I was just like singing inside, like, oh my God, this is so beautiful.
Yeah, I think
it's
when
the
I
little
see
things
your
that make
little
me happy.
Logo there too. And I'm sure you're the same way. You see a lot of logos and you're like, oh, okay. But that one that's a cool logo, and I love words and colors too, and I thought I would tell you that. I don't know, and I didn't know if it was, I'm sure, as with me, most things you do are thought through, and sometimes they
but
might
it's a,
start
also a felt
but not
thing,
yeah,
but, like, you know,
but,
it's feeling,
yeah, well,
like I'm looking outside.
Yeah, and then it goes.
When I look outside, like right now, and the sun is shining, and my rose bushes are blooming again, and the trees are coming alive, and it's almost spring, and I get so much joy. And so, it's a little warm here, which I'm so grateful for. But I get so much joy and satisfaction out of that, and that's part of elevating our vibration every day. It's the simple things. It's nature. It's color. It's vibration that we can choose to celebrate, and it raises our vibration, and then it shifts the signal that we're putting out into the world, and then that changes everything that comes back to us. So all of these things are interrelated. They're all just energy dynamics, basically, coming to life.
One secret I have about the snow, so many people live in climates where it's cold and they don't love the snow. And they might look outside and get bummed and go, oh, there's, you know, like I'm looking outside and there's like literally probably a snowbank that's 7 feet high in front of my window. It's huge. And but I don't look outside and go, oh, man, it sucks outside. I look outside and all I see is the beautiful color of white.
Yeah.
I'm funny like that. Yeah. All I see is white everywhere. And I'm like, white is such a cool color. And not many things are just naturally white.
Pure.
Like green or whatever. Snow is so cool. It's white.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's all about our perception, isn't it? Our perception, the lens through which we view anything determines our experience of it. And it's little things like that that determine the quality of our lives from day to day. It's looking at something and seeing its beauty as opposed to what's wrong with it. It's little things like that that make a profound difference in really the quality of our lives. And we're that powerful. It's just sort of like the lens, we get to choose the lens through which we look at everything and everybody. And
very cool.
Why not make it vibrant? Yeah.
All right, so we have 5 minutes left. There's a caller from the 773 area code. I don't know if you're holding or if you want to ask a question, so I'm going to unmute your phone and just quick ask you. Did you want to ask a question or are you just holding? You are on live with us, 773 area code. Hello, hello, hello. Okay.
Hi.
Hi. Was that you or them? Was that you, Carrie?
I think they
said
hello.
Oh, hi. Hang on. Let me unmute you again. Hello, hello, 773. Can you hear us? There might be a delay. Okay, we'll move on. Deborah Oakland wants to ask you a question, and that is from the chat room. Deborah wants to know, what's the best piece of advice Carrie has been given?
Well, to be honest with you,
got another hour.
Let's see.
Let's go.
Wow. You know, I think it's that, and it's something I talk about a lot, that our future isn't set in stone and that we're creating it from moment to moment. That's huge. You know, that nothing, it's sort of like understanding that there's destiny and free will, and they're intertwined in every moment of our lives, and nothing is set in stone. We're creating from moment to moment. And I could probably expand upon that for another hour, but that's huge when we realize that. We're so powerful.
Yeah.
Like every moment, it's our choices. It's our focus that determines what we experience next. So that's probably one of the biggest things. That's the first thing that came to mind.
I like that. Okay, give us one more. What's the next thing that comes to mind?
Oh, let's see. I think just remembering that the vastness of who we are is like greater than anything in our wildest imagination. And we have like these sparks of divinity that are intended to be ignited. And when we realize that it's up to us to ignite them, and how do we ignite them? By feeling the joy that we were feeling earlier, just whether it's colors and nature or whatever, we ignite like these little sparks of divinity within us, that, you know, but no one can do that for us. And it's realizing that when we start to do that, we start seeing divinity everywhere. We start seeing sparks of divinity in everything and everyone. That's huge. Instead of waiting for the world around us to change, you know, we ignite those sparks within us, and then we see just beauty and brilliance everywhere.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to have to go pretty soon here, but I'm going to open one more can of worms before we go. There are a lot of people listening. I always do that. Yeah, I don't care. We've got a lot of people listening who love authors, and they a lot of people who love want to write a book, and they want to know what we did or what you did or how you did it or, oh, you know, there's always a lot of questions people ask people who have written books. I get them, you get them, I'm sure. It's just, how do you do that?
Yeah. Right.
Can you give us some, or we both can do it together, or whatever, you can do it, it's, you know, you're the guest. But can you give us some advice on writing a book? Because it can be a very long journey and almost overwhelming to think about how do you write a book? Like for someone just starting out, or in process, or a frustrated author who keeps starting over and over and over again and doesn't get it done or whatever, you know, that type of thing.
Well, you got to eventually stop editing. I'll say that because it's never going to be perfect.
Amen.
That's first of all, because you have to just
and Balboa right there, probably with both of us.
You know, trust that whatever's coming through is beautiful, and have fun with it. You know, the whenever you make yourself right, you're out of the flow, and whatever's going to come through isn't going to be as pure and impactful for the reader. So I always say, write when you feel inspired. Don't make yourself sit down and write a specific time every day. Do it when you feel inspired, and then it's naturally going to come out. And the easiest thing for me over the years with the six books I've written is I've always sat down and created a tree, meaning I'll create all the chapter titles first. And then I go in, you know, whenever I'm feeling inspired, and I'll look at them all and I'll go, okay, what do I feel inspired to add to today? So, and I'll go to that. That's really been helpful.
That's interesting. That's kind of what I do too. I take a blank bunch of computer paper, you know, that you'd feed into a printer. And I mm-hmm. staple them on the left side, pretty thick, you know, probably like maybe a half an inch or an inch thick. And I visualize what a book looks like. So, like, I'll put the title on the front and my name on the front or whoever's name on the front, and then I'll go through and I'll write the chapters at the top, and then I'll add to it. And when that's done, I'll staple a new batch or whatever. So I handwrite a lot. Do you handwrite or computer write?
No. I think it comes through so quickly that if I weren't typing, I would lose it. Like it comes through so fast when I have to, and my hands are like moving right now as I'm saying it, but it comes through fast and furious, and it's like I got to get it out. So I have it's chicken scratch, my actual handwriting. I've written anything in a long time except for notes to my family and the house.
I write everything on paper. I'm old. I must be so old. I write everything in paper, and then I transcribe it into the computer still. Or crayon.
Hey, whatever works.
Half a percolate I wrote in crayon. You believe that? It was pretty funny. No, seriously, it's in crayon. What about the self-published versus published versus e-book versus print book versus hardback book, you know, all
I've done it all.
I've
done it all, and this time I just decided to go the shorter route, and with Balboa, and they were fantastic. And I decided I didn't need to go the long route, and I know enough about what it takes to promote a book that I've learned over the years, and self-promotion. Even when you get a big publishing house, it's up to you to promote it. It's up to you to do that
Isn't
and
it?
Do it joyfully, because I think a lot of times with the bigger houses, like, there's a lot of, I want to say force, but there's a lot of have-tos, and I don't really do well with that. I like feeling inspired to promote. I feel, you know, I want to do it in a way that feels right for me, and I like that freedom that I've chosen this time around with Balboa, and it's great. So
yeah, your book looks beautiful. Again, for those listening, it's Treasures of Heaven, and it's on Amazon and wherever books are sold. Is it in? It's in paperback.
Yeah.
Do you have it in ebook and all that? It's everywhere. Any kind of book you want to buy, you can buy her book. It's Treasures of Heaven. And congratulations on that. It's amazing, and I agree with you and on so many counts of writing a book. The one thing I was going to ask you is, how important is it when all of us are listening? What can we do as people listening to help make your book sell or make your book spread the word about your book or who you are or the title of it or give it to somebody who it might help? What avenues can we use these days to do that?
The first thing that came to mind is definitely be inspired and joyful as you're sharing news of it. And I think there's so many people who are willing to be supportive and, you know, ask for support. Don't be hesitant to ask for support and always be willing to give your support back. I think that as, you know, it's like a cycle and a circle of just love and support that's infinite from those around us when we tap into that. And social media is huge, you know. That's a big part of it. But doing it from a very joyful way, not, oh my God, I have to do this and it needs to, you know, get this result, because that takes you out of the joy, it takes you out of the flow, and people will feel that in your request for support. So I just say, do it with an open, loving heart and with joy in your heart, because the whole purpose of sharing a book and the information, the insights in it, is to uplift and inspire people. And if we as the authors are not feeling uplifted or inspired, what kind of example is that?
That's really great advice. Yeah, so instead of coming from, like, desperation, like, please help me, like, sometimes,
right.
and I think people feel that way, too. I know I do sometimes. I'm like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to do all this? And we do. We get kind of exasperated in a way, and I love that advice to just sort of back off of that and do something else, maybe, when you feel that way, and maybe recenter and refocus to find that joy again. Because
well, and it's walking our talk. It's actually it's walking the talk and feeling that joy and not making something
really
happen.
Advice.
Because it really happens when you allow it to happen and you're joyful. It just happens, not when you make it or force it into place. Because first of all, that doesn't feel good, and people around you feel that resistance. And so, stay in your joy, because that's what you're trying to express through what you're sharing anyway.
That's great advice for all authors and all people doing anything, really.
Yeah.
That's across the board help, I think.
It applies to everything.
That applies to everything. So, all right. Well, I can't thank you enough for being with us all. What a joy to meet you finally in depth, other than the Motivation Marathon, which was very cool, too. But to actually get to learn more about you. And I think your book is fantastic. I'm really excited for you. Again, everybody, it's Treasures of Heaven. And Carrie's website is carimurphy.com. Not F.
You did
Hello,
it.
Elizabeth. I did it. Woo! I can tell. Oh, boy. I do that.
I had so much fun, Elizabeth. I'm so grateful that we got, you know, this happened today. I had so much fun with you. And
good.
Thank you.
You're a true joy. I love you because you walk your talk, and you have the most beautiful radiant smile, and just Deb Scott and everybody at the Motivation Marathon. You guys rock for bringing Carrie into our lives. So every single person, I just want everybody to know this before I let you go here. Because I'm actually feeling like I have to let you go, and I don't want to. I'd love to stay on the phone with you for another 3 hours. do you know this, Carrie? Every single person that I emailed today to let them know that you were going to be on the show today, I was flooded with this kind of the same sentence, oh, my God, I love her.
Oh.
Just so you know. I just wanted you to know that. I have so many emails that I'm not going to forward them all to you, but and you guys all know who you are who wrote me back. Oh, my God, I love her. Oh, my God, I love her. She's so cool. She's so inspiring. She's so this, she's so that. So there is a lot of love.
Oh, that warms my heart.
I'm sure you know that.
So
but I just wanted to make sure and tell you that. If you ever have a moment where you don't feel so good or anything, call me and I'll email you one of these emails.
Thank you so much for that.
All right, lots of love. Thank you guys, everybody, so much for listening. And if you get a chance, join our community. It's What's Percolating. It's besteveryou.ning.com. Our main website is besteveryou. But we've got that little community going on, and there's close to 800 people in it or so, and it's the coolest community of people like all of us. It's a lot of that Motivation Marathon crowd in there. We support each other's projects and everything that we're doing. So it's just a Ning community. It's besteveryou.ning.com. And I'd love to see you guys in there and spreading the joy. I'll put Carrie's book in there and the show, too. All right, lots of love, Carrie. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Lots of love to you, too. Bye, everybody. Bye, Elizabeth.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Best Ever You Network. For more information, just visit us at besteveryou.com.